Welcome back to the Harrogate Family Law Show. I'm James Stanley. I'm joined by Carol Jessop, and we're discussing how financial arrangements are resolved following a separation and divorce on this month's show. So, Carol, what does the law say about how financial arrangements should be resolved? Is it always 50-50, or is there a formula?
No, there's no set formula. The law provides general guidelines and also gives the court a wide range of discretion. So we use the guidance in the law, and we also use the decisions that are made in the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court to guide us too. So these cases which go to appeal in the highest courts help give guidance about the interpretation of the law.
So what does the law actually say then?
The court has to apply Section 25 of the Matrimonial Causes Act. So this is nearly 50 years old now. The court refers to these factors, which we have to keep in mind when we're advising about the appropriate level of division of the assets. Although, obviously, a couple can agree whatever arrangements they want, but if they can't agree, then we use these factors to guide us and advise on what a court might decide if they have to divide the finances for them.
So what's a sort of summary of what you're having to use as guidance then?
Well, the first consideration is given to the welfare of any child under 18. It's not the most important consideration, but it's the first thing that has to be considered. So most parents would agree, however, that this is the most important thing. And then we have to look at all the other issues, and none of these rank in priority over the other. So these are as follows. There is the income, earning capacity and other financial resources which are available now or may be available in the future. So this includes looking at whether earning capacity can reasonably be increased. We also look at the expenditure that each party has now and is expected to have in the future, including liability for debts. The standard of living enjoyed by the family before the breakdown of the marriage is also relevant, although it's usually not possible to divide the money between two households and retain the same standard of living. If either of the husband or wife have any health problems or a disability which may impact on the earning capacity or mean that they have more expenditure because of care needs, then this is obviously an important factor. And the contribution that each has made to the welfare of the family is also something that the court takes into account. So this includes being the main breadwinner, but it also includes looking after the home and caring for the family too. Conduct is included as a factor, but in practice, the behaviour has to be really serious and significantly impact on the financial position of the family before it's taken into account. And we also have to take into account the value of any benefit which is being lost as a result of the divorce. So this usually relates to pension funds, which have often been built up by one of the parties with the intention of benefiting both of them in retirement. So once all these factors are taken into account, the outcome has to be considered against making sure that the terms of settlement meet the financial needs of both the husband and wife going forward as much as they can, and that the terms of settlement are fair. So although there is guidance in the law, there is also a huge amount of discretion, and that's why almost every case is different, because the facts of the situation, the resources available and the financial needs are different. So in the next section, I'm going to talk about the practical steps which a husband and wife can take to move forward with their financial settlement.
And that's coming up on the Harrogate Family Law Show on Stray FM.